Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Don't get your palms all sweaty. Everybody knows I'm petty. I like headlin' ready. I like my whipped cream ready. I'm petty. Petty Mike, petty Mike.
Okay,
petty,
I see petty, where you're
Mike,
going.
Petty, petty, petty man, petty man, petty man.
Hey, petty, petty man. Man.
Petty man.
I don't know. Last week, the week before, at some point I was talking about the fact that I unfriended a number of people for simply liking a negative post about the show. I don't hesitate to do that now because I'm like, okay, if you're liking a thread or liking a post of somebody that's taking a dig at us,
right?
I'm feeling like you're sneaky, that you're going to send me, like if you're somebody that sent me personal messages about how much the show means to you,
right?
And then somebody says, you know what, I really hate when the guys do that. I think they really, there's no judgment. And then somebody will like it. It's like, you know, I'm sorry, you're all in. You're all in.
Do you feel that when they don't
turbo petty man.
When they don't actually post but they just like, is it almost like dissing you behind your back?
Yes, it's sneaky.
It is sneaky.
I prefer the Ronik factor where Ronik will have a problem and he will sometimes PM me with something.
Right.
Or Barb Moody will PM me or you know, where they will actually contact me you know, directly and say, hey, you know, I didn't mean what I said with that and you mischaracterized, and then sometimes I'll correct it because it's head on and it's ballsy. If you're sitting there just going, yeah, like that. So I had a real petty moment on this thread. There were like five people that liked this post. I don't even remember what the post is. But I was like, okay, you're going. And one of them was a guy that actually we welcomed into our family to come into our little studio here, Lev, because Lev's from, I don't know, Bulgaria, wherever
he's
the hell
Dutch. He's from the Netherlands.
He's Dutch, yeah, just like I said. And he came in and sat in on the show, which, you know.
I know.
You know how I feel about that. You know, I mean,
you hate people in studio.
You hate Europeans in studio.
I don't mind guests.
Yeah, but you hate listeners in studio.
If a listener has something in their background where they are somebody, it's cool. I will give you the perfect example.
All right.
The Colburns, my friends, the Colburns came in. He was the director of the President's Own.
Right.
So he has a bio where he has performed with Beyonce. He brought something to the table. It was completely out of there. If you're just here because you've listened, it's a little tougher pull.
Especially
when I come back from
surgery. If you've never...
Remember, Rob?
I do remember, Mike.
If you've never done anything but just listen to our show and support our program, you're not allowed. You have to do more than that in your life. You're not allowed otherwise.
But I do believe...
I understand I'm being petty when we even have this.
And also, petty is also compounded sometimes by physical pain. And I think there was a little bit of that at play. But I do believe history should reflect that you invited Lev in.
I did?
Yes. You were fascinated by his European background, and you invited him in.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I don't know if I reached out and sent him a message.
Pull the tape.
Come on in.
No, he was in town, and
any listener that's coming to the studio has the Spiewak stain all over them.
Mike, is it a stain?
He's a gateway to TMOS. He's like
and
the Golden Arches.
Says, he never says no to a listener.
Or the Golden Arch.
Well, I'm not the Golden Arch.
You need more evidence to throw out. Prosecutor Mueller to throw out.
That is not my recollection.
Rob,
of what
you have thrown out a stunning accusation at me that says that I just don't ever remember. I just don't
because
think
he,
I would
if
do
you
that.
Remember his segment.
Did I say it or did I formally put it in like paper or something?
I don't recollect that, sir, but I can say with some confidence that he came in with your approval.
I remember we had to ask.
What?
We had to ask if he could come.
I don't know that did. I think Mike invited him in. That is my recollection, sir.
I don't remember
how would
that.
I invite him in? What would be the process if you...
If
you're
I had to...
Sieve of a memory, what would be the process of
If
that?
I had to reconstruct, I believe he was here to see the studio after the show on the day before. And then you invited him in because there was a certain degree of fascination about the fact.
Maybe it went down that way.
Yeah, that's how it happened. He came in after the fact just to look.
I was being like Superman, right?
Yeah, and then you were like,
hey, come on and sit. Yeah, come on.
Because there, and also remember,
I think the
he gave
magnanimous, Mike.
Yes.
You were all.
I realize that I'm coming across as turbo dickish talking about the whole thing with it's just. I don't know how
it's not just the listeners. It's us. Every time for the last three times Mike has been in town, in D.C., he doesn't even come see us.
Well, he doesn't like when guests are in the studio.
Let me ask you this.
He would be the guest.
Oh, okay.
Oscar.
Jerk.
Oscar.
Yes.
Put your boat hat on.
Yes.
When you do your podcast.
Wait, they sell those too?
You do every podcast with like 10, 15 chairs, and you have the same. Do you
some
have
of
the
them
same
are four
guys.
We need new guys, Mike. It's getting thin, but usually I would say at very least a steady seven same guys come in.
I've seen his crowd. It's not that thin.
Legitimate question. Give me your assessment of that live group that you have, Evan, because I know there's interaction there.
I love it.
You love it.
I love it, but that's me. I can't say you're going to like it.
And I also think it's different.
I listen to Boat.
Yeah, but do you like
people
in the audience?
Sometimes to me it sounds like a bad laugh track.
Oh, okay.
Where the same guys sound like they're laughing, and it's like, but your show is
different.
Bode is inside.
Yes.
So you'll talk about these guys, and it's a very inside show. But the actual presence of
I love people there. I could look.
You could have a studio audience for the Mike O'Mara show.
Yes, I would love that. Right. That would be.
But
fun.
I think it's weird.
We just don't have the room for it.
It's weird because you are not actually in studio.
So you even hate it even more, which is strange.
I know that, like, even when we did the party shows last Christmas, it was a weird dynamic because even though you were a part of it, you weren't as much of a part of it as you wanted to be.
Well, I'm going to give you a compliment, which I rarely do, Rob, but you have gotten better with guests that come in because you for a long period of time, when we'd have a guest, I would have to, you would get excited. You would get, and you would go into your, you know, show-off mode, right?
And well, today was easy because Angie and I have a feud. Angie Goff and I hate each other, so I didn't feel like showing up.
Rob's talking about the show we taped on Thursday.
Yesterday's
show. What's the feud?
No, that was a joke. That was just an
accident. When did you guys start hating each other?
She's like the sweetest person in the world.
No, I just thought you were really kind of together on the Angie show this week.
Let me
thank you. Kind of. Didn't you think so, Oscar? I thought he really like kind of kept in his pants.
He did, but to be fair to I think as much as Rob turns into a little girl every time he has
sometimes
guests in there,
just start laughing about
because
show.
No, I'm because
sorry.
Of the pain.
Sometimes I just thought, yeah, how cruel, nakedly cruel I am. Yeah.
Really, the pain and the like, the constricted tonsils of him trying to form a compliment.
I'm trying to help.
Okay,
listen. I
appreciate that. After this,
we'll
work on English.
You just dissed our audience of Bo. They're not all fat, and if you collectively put them together, we look at you and look at them and be okay.
It was simply a joke.
I would say this. The subject matter for Thursday's show was so heavy, they didn't give him a chance to do his own Rob Spiewak show.
What he's saying is that the show for once was heavier than me.
So in other words, I complimented you and Oscar was retracting.
Of course he is. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't make, how much schick or sheck can you pull into an assassination attempt interview?
Yeah, you cannot do shtick around a congressional shooting.
No,
that cannot happen.
No.
It's not going to happen. But anyway, it's just
thank you for the compliment,
zone.
Oscar.
You're welcome.
I like this. I like guests on the show.
Yes.
I really do. I like having a guest that we we bring in. I just having people observe. Maybe here's something. I'll throw this out.
Yes,
and maybe this will bite me in the ass. But I thought about when we did the live show at the DC Improv.
Mm-hmm.
I said in the event that all things being equal, I could probably do a show. I could get used to doing a show like that. But in order to do a show like that, I would want to recirculate the audience. And until we get 500,000 people per download, you know, 500,000 downloads, I don't want to
Mike,
do that.
Mike, it's not, I think there's two issues
you guys
here.
On Bode, you have a Carlton on Bode.
Yes.
You have a, ah, ha, ha.
Yeah, we have two of them.
One guy
does
it.
We have two solid laughers, Mike. Two solid laughers.
Okay, so the same guys, right?
Yeah. Well, we actually have instructed the two solid laughers never to both be absent from a taping, because otherwise it's a dead room. It's like, we're not doing anything right. People don't care.
See, I respect the guys in your audience that aren't doing the laughing.
No, I don't. They're just there for the free food.
I love the fact that you have that audience. I think it actually, and we see this when we've done live shows, it really is a fun thing to work with timing.
Yes.
Because you're having that response, that immediate response. And
you know that when I was hired to do mornings at WAVA, it was either Smokey Rivers or Alan Goodman said to me, are you a good laugher? Because they wanted me to be a laugher.
That's important.
Yeah.
And I said, when I go to a comedy show, I love to laugh. Mm. I enjoy laughing. Laughing is something
Like Uncle Cartoon.
I've had comedians spotlight me at and it's actually embarrassing because they're like, if you could follow me on tour, please.
Yeah. No, but it's also not.
Like, what is your rate?
So Oscar, you can just laugh. We both do it. And I will tell you that I can say that it's not necessarily fake, but it is a comfortable
thing. I am easily entertained. I love to laugh. Yeah, I love to laugh.
Me
like
too.
Like when Angie Goff on today's other taping, you're hearing this Friday, that was Thursday's show, when she talked about her mom, Chin, and her dad being sleeping in the car for 16 hours, I laughed, I unhinged my jaw. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was the funniest thing I've ever heard. So, but getting back to the whole in studio thing, I unfriended Lev because I thought we rolled out the red carpet.
He
for him,
got and the then he red snarkily, carpet treatment.
That was not a Dutch treat.
And then he snarkily liked a diss post, but he liked a post from a troll. And that guy was obviously a troll.
Right.
And I don't like it when five people go, yeah, like that. And Lev, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob.
Yes.
I need support on this one. Lev has periodically tweaked us a little bit. And
he is openly.
Dutch way,
I think he is openly honest.
It's those wooden shoes.
I think it is the wooden shoes and the tulips and the windmills.
I've been tweaked by a lot of people online, and I don't.
You're always attacked.
Victim. But this one was particularly okay, dude. If you're not gonna,
what was the main context of the post?
That's how important it was to me. Wow. I actually have no memory of it. I really don't remember what it was.
He said
was
your new something. Hip sucked.
Yeah, my new hip sucked.
Hey, your
I have
new
no
hip
idea
sucks.
What it was. Got no memory.
How's
no,
my yeah, they, walking?
Now that's funny.
So what are we going to do with
Lev?
Those
business cards suck.
What are we going to do with them?
Hey, you should post that the business cards suck and see if Lev likes that
Mike,
comment.
You said on the regular show
when I unfriended him and I blocked him. I put him on blocked island. When I unfriended him and put him on blocked island, I said, he may contact me and I will reconsider, but he should go through Rob Spiewak.
So I got a two-part letter from Lev.
Two parts?
Two parts. And it starts out, the first one is addressed to me that sets up the letter to you.
All right.
And here's what he writes. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Guess what? I think even though this is a bonus show and we don't have commercials,
yeah,
we should tease it.
Ah!
That letter from Lev Nedkov is coming up next on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
The capital.
I don't know what happened. I went over to Marco's house. I didn't have an option. We got into it. And now he's just laying there. I don't think he's breathing.
What the fuck do you mean he didn't have a choice?
And now Roy Gilbert's guy is waiting for me over at Martha's, but I don't fucking know.
Kevin, what the fuck are you talking about, Gilbert?
Roy Gilbert. He has this guy, okay? And he says that this guy says that he can help me fix it, but I don't know, man.
Kevin, you listen to me. Listen to me, you stay right where you are, Jeremy.
Then you moron.
I don't want you to talk to anyone. I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to fucking agree to anything. You stay right where you are.
You won't do it, John.
I can't find either of them anywhere. Go to the boyard, and if he's not there, go to his house and bring him here.
It's
Mom,
Kevin.
How am I supposed to do that?
It's
I don't
Kevin
care
Raver.
How you do it. Just do it.
No. No.
No, I've been calling John. I've been looking for Kevin everywhere.
Yeah, well,
nobody's answering
Kevin's
their
idiot.
Phone. I'm not going to do it anymore, okay? I'm not doing it.
You do what I tell you,
Meg. You know what? I'm so
up,
sick
Mom.
Of this shit. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, just get drunk,
I'm
Meg.
Not.
Slut.
Meg.
Yeah, go get drunk, Meg. And Kevin gets drunk. And then John Rayburn gets drunk. Smokes a cigarette. Leaves his wife. Lives in a motel.
Could I have
stupid
a fucking bottle of tequila, please?
Yeah, bottle of tequila. That's smart.
It's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Why do you think they wanted the murder weapon, Kevin? They wanted the murder weapon so they could blackmail you later, you stupid moron. And if Roy Gilbert hadn't died of a heart attack, you'd be SOL. But it doesn't really matter because they canceled the show and then decided that the solution to the cancellation and wrapping the season up was for everybody to die. Like everybody. John Leguizamo, Beau Bridges, everybody dies.
Mike, here's a spoiler alert. If you go on YouTube looking for dynamic clips from Bloodline, you're going to want to kill yourself.
Yeah, it's probably hard to find. You know, it really is. But Kevin Rayburn.
Love seeing you smile, though, when he was talking about the dead body.
As you were playing a clip from one of our favorite online shows, Bloodline, I will tell you this, that what frustrates me is with the cancellation is that I will not be able to enjoy multiple seasons of Beau Bridges, which I was really starting to dig. How are you,
Maybe
Kevin?
Country Music Television will bring it back like they're bringing back Still Standing, the show
well,
with
unfortunately,
Home
Roy
Improvement
Gilbert
guy.
Had a heart attack and died.
Oh, no.
But Beau Bridges had this really great dialect, Kevin.
Is CMT also bringing back Nashville?
I think they might be, yeah.
Really? Hey, speaking of that,
these shows never die.
That's right.
iTunes is where you get that Gwen Levy who we played earlier this week. If you want to get a copy,
I picked it up on iTunes.
Album.
That's where I bought it.
Very grateful of us sharing that.
You know, on our website, every week we post all the records we play.
Yeah.
So you can buy them through Amazon. She is also available through Amazon. And if you check our website, you can click.
I'll buy it on Amazon as well.
I bought it 3 times.
I really bought it on iTunes on Apple Music, and I was like, well, I guess she's there.
Pick up the album.
Very
cool.
Exciting. Yeah. Very, very, very exciting. Welcome to the TMOS Bonus Show. Rob was just about to share with us a letter from a listener who was banished for supporting a troll. I don't believe you should support trolls. I believe you should kick them under the bridge.
Patent trolls.
Yes.
Show trolls.
Mm-hmm. Trolls.
Trolls under trolls. The bridge.
Trolls.
Hey, can I ask a question about trolls? Here's a question about trolls. So these guys that do this, because we get them on our show. A lot of times somebody will write a really horrible post.
Dan Town.
And I'll go and I will see that they're not friends with me. And then you will go and they have no profile. Do people set up like an account
just to drop
in on the fan page and give us some shit?
You've either blocked them or they have set up a fake account which has been somehow
they've
allowed.
They've gone to all that trouble just to give us some shit.
Mm-hmm.
People have free time.
Wow.
Yeah.
They do.
Stunning. Dedication. Stunning.
Time. And also there's the time difference between now and, the Netherlands. Here in the Netherlands. It's probably in the middle of the night. He's got nothing but time.
What did Lev write?
He wrote this. This is dated June 7th. So I've had this for a couple days.
Oh, we let him cool his heels. I love this.
Yes. Okay. Hi, Rob. How are you doing? No question mark. It's almost cute because he doesn't write English
very
well.
I would say that's pretty funny, but that happens with your copy all the time.
Chalk up one for the ESL student. I hope you and your family are doing well. I didn't had time to listen to the show for 2 weeks now and just heard yesterday's podcast after some posts on Facebook. I don't know the post Mike is talking about, so I don't know the exact content. Yes, I do click post where people say why they don't like something if they say it on a normal way. I can see their point of view.
Hold on. What does that mean?
I think he's saying that...
What if their grammar is correct? He puts a like on it?
No, I think he's saying that if he sees some constructive criticism about the show, he might click like.
He's going all European on my ass. I'm getting pissed off already.
Oh, no. Mike, part of that.
I click on the post if they say it in a normal way. If they're saying it with respect, I do.
I can see.
So far, buzz.
Lev, oh, no.
Buzz.
Oh,
thank
no.
you.
We can get some plus points here. I can see their point of view. It then has nothing to do with Mike as a person. I gained a lot of respect for Mike and equally respect for you, Oscar, and Pony. I won't post any bad things about you guys. If I think something is bothering me, I just stop listening to the show. It's easy as that. So, if I offended Mike, I'll apologize.
Hold on, Oscar, where are you in this letter so far?
Kick rocks.
No shit. Where are you with it, Oscar? Rob, what do you think?
Well,
I mean,
you
so
see,
far, it's not exactly a font of positivity.
I've read ahead, so I'm still, I say there's a chance because I know how this letter ends and I know
I'm
your
hearing
letter.
One of my ex-mother-in-laws when I'm hearing this.
I'm hearing
somebody that's totally what's on their plane is out of their mouth.
Tanta Lev?
Okay?
Is it Tanta Lev?
Hey, look at that guy hosting the Miss America pageant. He has a good job. Yeah, yeah. Thanks for sharing.
I'm hearing the euro isn't as strong as the dollar.
It's time for the Levxit. If I offended Mike, I'll apologize because I have nothing bad to say about Mike or the whole TMOS crew.
Wait, go ahead. Start again with that. What was that?
So if I offended Mike, I apologize because I have nothing bad to say about Mike or the whole TMOS crew because I understand how things work. I do get it. Whatever happens, I'll keep listening because I love the show. By the way, the app is great even before the update.
Aww,
I wish you all nothing but the best.
Come around.
I am a P1 and I will stay a P1. Till the next time, best to you all, Lev. Now that's the letter to me. I hold in my hand the letter to Mike.
Oh, nice. Mm.
Okay.
Could you read it with coming out of an up-tempo song, please?
You mean a goddamn up-tempo record?
Hey, everybody. And now it's Letter Corner with Rob Spiewak. And now, here's Rob.
So this is written directly to Mike. And I quote, "Dear Mike, I am grateful for the show you guys do for us. I am grateful for the visit to the studio. It has been one of the highlights of my life. I am grateful for all the work that you guys do to prep, execute, and evolve the show. If I offended you by liking a post, I apologize to you. I do know what people mean when they write something. It's very sweet of Rob to protect me, but my English reading is better than my writing. Sidebar, remember I said maybe because of his less than stellar
lost
English.
Lost in translation.
Might have been lost in translation, but he says no. Right. I just want to say I don't wish you harm or anything bad. You are the only one I listen daily to, not even Dutch broadcasters. And I think that says it all. Whatever you decide, I'll keep listening to the show. I love it too much. Best regards, Lev."
Oh.
Okay.
Alice Cooper.
Let me tell you how my brain works.
Okay.
My brain works this way. I had said on the show that he heard that he should contact me via letter through you, and he did that. That's an automatic refriend.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Yeah.
Woo! Well, no, because he had some kind words about the app, too. I was giving him friendly crap about the letter that he sent to you, because he did do that kind of European, this is the way, if they write it to me. But the fact
my
is,
wooden
he did,
speakers play it
he
this
took
way.
The time to write a letter.
Not what I'm drinking.
Because he took the time to do it.
I just carved a new iPod to listen to the show.
It will be a process, but I will figure out a way to get him back. And
that's awesome. I think you've made a little Dutch boy very happy.
Well, a little Dutch boy. Right. I'll put the wooden shoes back on.
And Mike,
I have no problem.
Remember to put the wooden shoes out, and Sinterklaas will bring you candy out of orange.
Sinterklaas. That'll be fine. I think he deserved. Don't you agree?
I do.
He deserves it.
And,
he's been sufficiently contrite.
And the thing is, you know, when you guys were against, I said that I read ahead. I knew that there was something good coming.
We are burning bridges and building bridges today. I feel like so much is going on here.
That's right.
What bridge did we burn today?
To every other listener outside of Lev. Like, they're not allowed to come to the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we told them to go fuck themselves, basically.
Pony, we didn't tell them that, Pony. Negative Nelly. We didn't tell them that we told them to go F themselves.
You know what happened this morning?
It's not. You've worked here. You know what?
Mike, at 6:15 this morning, an alarm goes off. And a skinny, bony arm turns off the alarm.
Oh,
and,
like
he reaches down under the blanket, and he pulls out a sugar glider and says, oh, I'm going to say fuck today.
No. Don't
just
be so
the way
negative.
We do the show,
Pony.
We offer a better show.
Yeah.
And it's
yes.
Just the people, the principals,
just the principals
that are in here.
But
it's kind of a controlled environment.
Lev,
you know?
Comes
it's
back a, into the fold via
yes.
the interweb,
and it's international acceptance.
Yes, yes.
It's international acceptance. And look, we'll make exceptions to that occasionally, but it's just
Merle.
Like,
you're welcome anytime.
We're not somebody that you know. It's not a stop on the DC. You want to come to a live show? We'd love to. That's why we do them. We make them special.
So,
it's not special.
No, Mike.
If you do 50 shows,
I think
with
there's a big difference between A. I think it's a little strange if I'm being completely transparent, that you have such a big issue with people just stopping by and saying hi and wanting to have a pilgrimage of sorts and a stop to see the studio and say hello.
Well, I don't think he's against people seeing the studio and saying hello.
I'm not against people coming by after the show to see the studio at all.
You don't want them to sit in on the program.
What I don't want is I don't want to have a panelist in that I feel that I need to accommodate during the actual broadcast. Mm-hmm. If people want to come by the studio, they can come by every day. We
I would say that's an
DC
open door.
See,
yeah.
There
are actually
that's
more
an
times.
Open door policy. I hope I didn't make it sound like that.
Well, I wanted to clarify.
Like
it sounded a little like that to
well,
me.
Well, if they have the A ticket, they get the tour of the studio. I will sit with them for a cup of coffee and I will recommend a bagel bakery.
We've taken listeners to lunch.
We actually have.
It's fun.
Well, that's good. No,
yeah,
that's good.
It's fun.
Off the show. I'm talking about the process of doing the show.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
that's true.
The point I'm trying to make here.
Yeah, but just to clarify, people can come. You can come all day, just not during the show.
Yeah, you can. You've
upset. Before the program or after the program?
After, mostly.
Well, before, if it's early, we just get out of the way.
It's not so great in the first part.
Well, then we don't have to go to lunch with them.
Well, what if we don't have to take the listeners to lunch.
I like doing that. I like it's fun. It's fun if we have time.
I like to sit down and I get to ask my favorite question. What's your favorite thing about me?
No, I think it's fine. Well, then fine.
Yes.
Well, then
okay, thank you, Regis.
Before or after.
That's great.
And
you
there
know
isn't
what?
That much room as it is, to be fair.
I don't
to
know.
Us.
I'm being painted out by you and by Pony to be the dick here. And I don't know. I resent it. I'm talking about just a policy of having people in. If there's a guest that we are doing an interview with, that's fine. If
that's
it's somebody
something.
That's going to sit here, we don't. The energy shifts and it's not the same kind of show that we do. And a lot of times it's not for the better.
Yeah, it becomes
solid point.
It becomes
when we do the show in front of a live audience, it's a totally different story. The energy is incredible.
I don't think you should even compare the two, because that live show is completely different than what we
but
do.
But also
here.
The accessibility of what we are as far as online and in many other ways is the I have greater accessibility with this show and the way we
I think
live
that's
our
how
lives
we,
on this show.
That's how we survive.
Yeah,
that's
but
what,
no,
that's
I'm
what
not,
makes us who we are, right?
That's okay. You know what? You're turning this into a thing. And
I don't know if it's a thing.
The fact is, I was not saying that we're not, that that's not what makes us survive, Pony Oscar. I have to say that
Ponyaska. How does he get top billing?
And I'm fine with that. It's just this small little detail. And I don't believe that I've told the listeners to F you. I don't think I've said that at all.
I didn't use that word.
You're painting me in
that
little box.
That was Matthew Bloom
said that. You care about the show. You care
desperately,
about the show.
Desperately. And we want to provide.
You care about my image.
We try.
You care about my representation.
Of course
the
I do.
Unlike two other people here.
No, all we do is care.
From another show.
All we do is care.
Two interlopers that don't care about my image.
Oh, the intruders.
I love
the intruders are in the building.
We take baths with our listeners. We're fine with that.
Let me wash your doodads.
Yes, absolutely. Let me bathe you. Okay.
Two different generations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you go ageist on my ass. Go ahead. Go ageist on my ass. Bring politics in, too. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
all
no
right.
problem.
Here's Alice Cooper.
Rock and roll, everybody. Rock and roll, Hoochie Coo. Having a fantastic time on the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. Hey, you want to come by? We'll take 50 of you. Sit around and laugh the same way so it sounds the same way every day. Yeah, all right. Good stuff. Hey, it smells like cheese in here. Whoa. Alice Cooper to sing for you.
We pause now for station identification.
It's funny that we will take, I guess, 40 interns in studio, but we will not take one random listener.
Interns are here for a length
yes.
of time. Interns are personalities that are woven into the fabric of
the
our
tapestry.
Program.
And a lesson to all you interns.
Yes.
That Mac, dropout McIntyre.
McIntosh.
Whatever his name is. McIntosh. Why don't I know that? It's so strange.
Well, this is obviously a fuck up.
Where did that come from?
Yes!
Wow.
So,
Mike doesn't know that tape yet.
Well, don't derail the story. Don't derail the story. Relax, all right? So, Mac and I are playing Overwatch once again yesterday, right? I finally accept his friend request. It's the fifth one that's come through after I denied four of them. And he's like, guys...
Oh, no.
Guess what? And then Todd's annoyed. He's like, what, Mac? And he says, did you know that I have an interview with Micro Center today? And we're taping this Thursday. This will air Friday.
Right.
And he already worked there.
No, he applied and never heard back.
All right.
Our show has helped Mac McIntosh get a first-class interview from the hiring director at Micro Center because the hiring director at Micro Center listens to this show.
Yeah.
He should fall on his orange knees and worship the ground we walk on.
Yes.
But he won't. He won't.
And as I demanded a few requirements from his new job, which I assume he will get, I demanded he not embarrass us. I said, do not embarrass us if you get this job, which I think he will.
Right.
I said, don't make us look bad. This guy clearly wants to throw you a bone because he loves Mike. So
this
don't.
This is the guy that quit his Amazon job because he couldn't drive at night.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Do not embarrass us. And two, we expect the full discount.
Yeah.
Employee.
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yes, Micro Center.
Yeah.
But really, he will, in a matter of days after getting his employment, he will forget that it was his alliance and his allegiance to this show that got him bullet trained to the top. Because there's a lot of rejects that want that job.
You have to wait till he gets the job first.
Well,
once it's all on him right now. Yeah, he could embarrass us in the interview.
No, Mike, here's what I know. He might lack experience.
I'm really only comfortable working 2 hours a day.
Mike, he interviews very well.
If he says he needs a bag of chips with him at all times, is he helping customers?
I'd like to help you find
a vending machine with Skittles in it.
I'd like to recommend this wireless mouse, but first I have to eat these barbecue potato chips because I need the salt or I'm going to die.
Well, I wish him nothing but the best of luck, and I hope that he gets the job. And when will he be on campus next?
He'll be in on either tomorrow or Friday, depending on his schedule, because we don't know what that is. Mm-hmm. B, Ashley wants to tip in briefly.
Yes, Ashley, take it away.
I just want to let Mac know. Mac, my Pokemon. Don't fuck this up for us.
Because you have stated you collect.
Amen.
Weirdos. I collect weirdos.
And he's one of your weirdos.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ashley is the only other intern in the TMOS family of interns that has really early on reached out to Mac. She reached out to Mac. And
Mackie
Mongo.
Remember when Mac stared at her and her girlfriend dancing in the corner from her Halloween party?
And tried to decode the dynamic?
Because he was unaware that young Ashley was in the life.
In the life.
Yes. We appreciate that, Ashley, and I second that emotion. I think that's fantastic.
Thank you to the wonderful listener that's giving a young man a shot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, Pony, if I can button this up, since what you said was incredibly hurtful to me.
He's still seething.
I have to say, I did not say F you to the listeners. I cherish the listeners. We do live shows in special places. We communicate on a regular basis. It's
listeners
just
first.
Always first.
Yes.
We have an intimate gathering each and every day. And
a conclave.
We like to keep it like this. It's a comfort zone. It's a comfort zone of doing the show. And when we do this show this way, I think that's the way the show works best, and that's the only reason I feel that way. That's it.
Does anyone else want to work at Micro Center now that we've covered that?
Yeah, you know what? How about some of the listeners? We'll send you a letter of recommendation.
That'd be great.
All right,
a virtual job board.
I've written letters of recommendations for some of the shittiest interns and made them look great.
There
so
you
if
go.
You need
Absolutely.
A reference, call me.
I think it's a wonderful idea.
Come on.
When you spotlight someone being punctual as their best quality, never late, always showed
always
up.
Always on time, smelled pretty good.
That's right.
I'd hire that man.
Yeah. And Mike, just so we can go back, when you missed one of the bonus shows during your surgery, one of the things we did, we had an uncensored tape, and I had never heard this. Okay. John F. Kennedy was in the Oval Office. They were taping phone calls even then, and he was wickedly pissed off about a story that leaked about the actual room they had set up for Jackie O to give birth because it looked too luxurious, and it was on a actual military base, and it leaked.
It's been leaking for years in Washington.
And he was really pissed off. And I had never heard this before. And Oscar loved it as well. So this is a tape that's found its way.
I can't wait to hear this. You never hear any JFK.
Mike,
this
you are going to love this.
I will send you the full tape. I don't have the full tape, but this is what we isolated, and this has found its way into every bonus show, I think, for a month
now. Well, don't send it to me. Bring it into the show.
Yeah, bring it into the show.
All right, here we go.
It's don't hoard it.
John F. Mike, it's in the closet with all of my VHS tapes.
Got to get him a computer. Got to get him a computer where he
Mike,
can bring everything.
If we bought him a computer, he wouldn't use it. He likes walking around with two iPads, and that's it.
I love when all of a sudden it becomes he. I'm in this fucking room.
Where would I get it on my computer?
Can't you just pull it up on your phone?
How long is the clip?
Can't I just pull it up on YouTube
this
here?
Is 2 seconds.
What I'm going to get is... And that's all I'm going to get, and it's going to be like, no reach around.
Let me ask
What's
you a question.
Here? Come
why
on.
Didn't that stay in your machine? Like, why you have so much room in there? Don't you think that could just live there?
It could live
there.
How
long is the original clip with the not the edited clip, the original
clip? A minute 40, I think. I mean, it's hard to remember.
Yeah, that could have lived there forever.
Where would I find it?
You would put in JFK into YouTube. It would be on YouTube. That's where I got it.
JFK F-bomb.
You don't have to play your clip.
Yeah, yeah. Let's wait. But I had him isolate that one part because it was so genius.
What would be? It wouldn't just be JFK. I would need something a little more.
Okay, so what about John Fitzgerald Kennedy?
That might be too much. How about John F. Bomb Kennedy?
JFK Rave Out or JFK Angry?
Angry, yeah. Or I would say JFK Swearing.
Swearing is good. That is a nice word. People don't use that enough.
Yeah.
They say stop cursing.
Feeling like using swearing in.
Feeling like saying it right now.
JFK swearing. Phone call, JFK cursing on the phone. Is that what it is?
That would be
yes.
It.
Let's hear it.
Let's give it a listen right now. Okay.
Please let it be a Family Guy clip. Please. Nice intro.
You know, can I stop right now? Fucking YouTube. Can I just say something? Your little bullshit music beds for every motherfucking song that sound that you play, that's obviously not it, right?
I believe that gets to it if
it'll,
you let it
it'll
play.
Get to it.
And you can drag it over.
Yeah, you can pull it over, Mike. You don't have to wait for it.
John F. Kennedy swearing on the phone.
The forces caused itself more grief with that silly bastard.
This is it.
Yeah?
Did you see the post this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm looking.
See that fella's picture by the bed?
Yes, sir.
And you see that furniture they bought from Jordan Marsh? What the hell did they let the reporters in there for? Are they crazy up there? Now you know what's going to do. Any congressman's going to get up and say, Christ, if they can throw $5,000 away on this, let's cut them another $1 billion. You just sank the Air Force budget. You're crazy up there. Are they crazy? That silly bastard with his picture next to the bed?
I'm appalled, but...
I want to find out if we pay for that furniture, because I want it to go back to Jordan Marshall's.
All right, sir.
Then I want that fella's incompetent who had his picture taken next to Mrs. Kennedy's bed, if that's what it is. I mean, he's a silly bastard. I wouldn't have him running a cat house. Christ, they're not all incompetent. Is that the way they're throwing money around over there? You better look into it, and especially when you told me that they hadn't spent a cent.
Well, sir, this is obviously...
Well, this is obviously a fuck-up. That's okay.
Oh, I love it. That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
So I essentially said, this is what he said. This is obviously a fuck up.
Right.
I said, you have to put that in your machine.
Yes.
Because every time we mess up, please play
and
that.
And so now is what we have isolated.
Well, this is obviously a fuck up.
But it hadn't occurred to me that you hadn't been around for a couple shows, so you hadn't heard it yet. We can't play it on the regular show.
It still, to me, doesn't reach the level of LBJ.
Oh, the pants?
No.
Let me
LBJ was, I mean, that was all-star, like, rave out, piss at the world. Yeah. Though, I will say that within that clip,
Mr. Hager?
Oh, here we go.
Joe Hager. Joe, is your father the one that makes clothes?
Yes, sir. We're all together.
LBJ. Another president.
Y'all made me some real lightweight slacks that he just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago. It's a kind of a light brown and a light green, rather soft green and soft brown. Yes. And they realize
he's calling Hager, correct?
Yeah, the Hager company. He's actually talking
the president of Hager.
He's talking to Bill Hager, like the guy who owns the place.
You made a pair of pants for me. Yeah. This is Lyndon Baines Johnson.
You can see the pictures. He wore these clothes all the time.
It was
almost like
uniform,
a leisure suit.
It was his uniform on the ranch.
Yeah.
These khakis that he wore.
What a king would do.
Yeah,
like, right. You know, call the tailor.
I need about 6 pairs for summer wear. Yes,
for summer
I
wear?
A couple, maybe 3 of the light brown, kind of a almost powder color, like powder on a lady's face. Then there was some green, and then maybe some other light pair. If you had a blue in that, or black, I'd have one blue and one black. I need about six pairs.
President of the United States.
Wear around in the evening when I come in from work. And I need they're about a half an inch too tight in the waist.
Oh.
Do you recall the exact size? I just wanted to be sure we get them right for you. No, I don't know. You all just guessed at them, I think, sent them, but wouldn't you have the measurements there? We'll
find them for you. Okay, all right.
This is a little Elvis-like,
isn't it? He is calling Mr. Hager of the Hager Pants Company. He is calling to get his custom-made pants, and he's basically saying, well, fuck you, I don't need to measure them. I don't even need to give you the measurements.
I'm the goddamn president. Just make them bigger.
You got them there.
At that time, it's not like there's a fucking database.
No.
Exactly. He's just got some guy that hopefully wrote it down and saved it.
Why don't you go back to your stainless steel desk and pull my card?
Everything I've read about Lyndon Baines Johnson is no one ever in the history of the presidency understood the power of the office more than he did. And it is so obvious here because he's like going, because I'm the president, he knows that they will somehow acquire his.
It's like calling Levi's and saying, hey, Levi's. I need this done.
Send that custom pair of jeans.
Yeah.
They say that the presidency took a turn when Bill Clinton was elected because he was the first professional politician to become a president. Right. There was a turning point when LBJ landed as president, because he began to use the office, as you said, in a way that it had never been used before.
So he's talking to a major corporate head about his particular pair of
pants.
Send you a pair. I want them half an inch larger in the waist than they were before, except I want 2 or 3 inches of stuff left back in there so I can take them up. I vary 10 or 15 pounds a month.
I love
what?
So leave me at least 2.5-3 inches in the back where I can let them out or take them up, and make these a half inch bigger in the waist. Make the pockets at least an inch longer. My money and my knife, everything fall out. Wait just a minute.
My knife!
Everything fall out. Now he's getting somebody else talking to him right now. So he's taking another. Hold on. Yeah, all right.
Hello.
Tough cruise ship.
Now, the pockets, when you sit down in a chair,
oh my God.
The knife and your money comes out. So I need it at least another inch in the pockets. Yeah.
That'll be fine.
Now, another thing, the crotch down where your nuts hang is always a little too tight. So when you make them up, give me an inch that I can let out there.
Yeah.
Because they cut me. It's just like riding a wire fence. These are the best I've had anywhere in the United States. But
hear the way he does that. Hear the little slide. He slides that. These are the best I've had. President of the United States is saying these are the best pants I've ever worn.
Yeah, right.
They cut me though in my balls.
He's also showing off. He's like your regular
he's
cut.
Showing off. Yeah.
He's like my nuts are so huge.
Yeah.
I need more space.
By the way, this is 5 minutes of the president's day where he's talking to the guy.
How about you get someone else take care of that?
This is one of the most fascinating
tapes. The nuts are really
tapes.
His concern.
This is one of the most fascinating tapes I've ever heard in all of
it is.
When I gain a little weight, they cut me under there. So believe me, you never do have much margin there. But see if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper in.
That was the president belching. Let's go back. That was the president belching, ladies and gentlemen. Hold on. Let's listen. Here we go. This is Lyndon Baines.
See if you can't leave me about an inch from where the zipper in. Under my back to my bunghole.
My bunghole.
And you know, Mike,
he called his butt his bung.
That's sort of ahead of the time, isn't it?
I don't want anyone to be upset or surprised on whoever takes office, because this has been happening forever. Listen to this man.
They're human beings. Yeah, exactly. Human beings.
That's it.
The part that we see is when Trump's making the okay sign and reading the prompter.
Yeah.
You don't see the real stuff.
No,
the real stuff is when you
I think
get
that's
tapes.
When you can measure somebody and be like, that's a real person.
Yeah, bungholes in the nuts.
Yeah. Now, the first thing I ever heard about Lyndon Baines Johnson is when apparently he was getting off a plane, and this is a book where it's like,
confirmed.
Which one's your helicopter, son?
Yeah,
they're all my helicopters.
Yeah. Raging alcoholic. Yeah, actually, one of my former bosses, his father was an Air Force One pilot.
Oh, right. Cool.
So he flew LBJ.
LBJ's that back there pounding Berman on the planes.
So I can let it out there.
Who wouldn't,
though?
You know, it's free.
Now, be sure you got the best zippers in them. These are good that I have.
Yeah, and don't fuck me on the zippers, Hager.
If you get those to me, I would sure be grateful.
Where would you like to be, please?
White House.
What do you want him saying? White House, you stupid fuck.
I thought it was for the summer home.
Here's something that you might not have heard of. 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, duh.
Yeah, they'll put him on the plane next to my bunghole, and they'll fly him down to Texas.
By the way, that burp to me, it sounded awful sour. Like maybe he needs something.
That was lunch.
Yeah.
Or do you think that was empty stomach?
No, I think that was maybe. I had some short ribs that ain't setting right.
Yeah,
the
that's
coolest story, I guess, for our modern day time that I heard of a president having access. And this is, Mike, this is going to sound weird and pedestrian at this point, right? But when President Obama got one of the first iPads before the general public did, blew my mind.
Right.
That type of access.
Yeah.
That he had this big iPhone that if you recall, when the iPad first came out, it was space age, right?
Unreal.
Yeah, and he kept the iPad right next to his ball sack and his bunghole.
Well, the reason it was lucky that he had extra big pockets, because when he sat down, the iPad didn't fall out.
There's also tape of Steve Jobs calling and yelling at President Obama.
Why?
Because he said that he wasn't in his first term. And apparently Steve Jobs was very active in politics. I just didn't know this.
But
his biography, there is, it's documented within the book where he takes a call from Steve Jobs, and Steve Jobs is calling the White House, and he's just laying into President Obama for what he has or has not done.
Wow.
That's the type of power these titans of industry have.
Right.
It's pretty scary. Yeah. It's pretty scary. Nuts. But this is the, Lyndon Johnson taped everything, and the humanity of this, talking to Mr. Hager.
Yeah.
The guy that invented the pants at Hager, right?
I don't guess there's any chance of getting a very lightweight shirt.
By the way, the guy that invented the pants, that was stupid. Retract that.
I was going to let it go, Mike.
I was thinking twice about that as well. But
this is obviously a fuck-up.
Thank you very much.
Sports shirt to go with that slack, is it?
Sports shirt.
That same color?
Is it?
We don't make them, but we can have them made up for you. If you might look around, I wear about a 17. Extra long.
Tall drink of water.
Yeah.
I sure would. I don't know whether that's too heavy for shirt or not.
I think it'd be too heavy for
shirt. I sure want the lightest I can in that.
I don't want the same material that's in the pants near my bunghole to be matching with the shirt that I got on.
I think that if you were to re-listen to the last couple seconds, at this point, Mr. Hager is so horrified at what is being thrown at him that
it sounds to me like he's going along with it.
But
it sounds like,
but also I think he's also being very careful, because it's a very scary situation where the president says, I suppose that'd be too heavy for a shirt, and he repeats just like Smithers, yes, that'd be too heavy for a shirt. Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, you figure out somebody up there that makes good shirts and get me one to match each one of them, and if they're good, we'll order some more. I just sure will appreciate this. I need it more than anything.
Folksy.
That's about it. I guess I could get a jacket made out of that if I wanted
He is working this guy.
And you know what?
Sure, I can't. More than you know.
Probably
I have to mention to you, I'm the president of the United States. I sure would appreciate it.
But I guarantee you, he is using phraseology that he used in the 40s in the Senate. We said, because right now, this is the most important thing to me right now, and I sure
this
will appreciate it.
It's extremely important to me right
very
now.
Very important.
More important.
The jacket.
And, let's hear. He's getting a jacket.
Yeah, he sent me some jackets for summer earlier, but they were way too short. They hit me up about halfway down my belly. I have much longer waist. But I thought if they had material like that and somebody could make me a jacket, I'd send them a sample to copy from.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you will send us this, we'll get it. We'll find someone to make it.
Okay.
We can supply the material to match it.
Okay, I'll do that. Now, how do I... You give this boy the address, because I'm running for a funeral, and give him the trousers, so we'll send them to you. And don't you... You get the measurements out of them and add a half inch to the back, give us an inch to the pockets, and about an inch underneath so we can let them out.
In other words, you like just a little more stride in the crotch.
Yeah, that's right. I want you to build these at least a half inch more and then leave me some in there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, here he is.
Glad you enjoyed the others.
Ah! No, thank you.
He's serious. That's it. I got that taken care of.
I don't suppose you could make me up a black suit and a black tie because I'm off to a funeral. That'd be too heavy for a funeral, son.
Lady Bird. Lady Bird, fantastic. Presidents of the United States. I think unreal. That's awesome. I think
unreal.
That is absolutely. All right, we got to pivot right now because, Rob, do you want to talk about Father's Day or do you want to talk about your college radio station?
Can we talk about my college station?
Go ahead.
This is sort of funny. I was fired by my college station. Because after I was elected,
we're around in the evening when I come in from work.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
That was an actual air check, I think.
It's your general manager down. That's your general manager, WVCW. Yes.
And I need about a half an inch.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I couldn't help.
So I was really excited about my senior year in college radio, and I think we all did college radio, right?
Yes, but I wasn't as excited as you were.
It was a big deal to me. And in the summer between my junior and senior year,
it was work for me. It was another job. It wasn't my life.
Right.
I was program director.
When you're PD, you really care.
I do.
Yes.
And the general manager.
Can we get
manager,
a clip of Rob's GM WVCW?
An interesting comparison. First, Edward Kennedy was the best politician of the three.
Okay, I'm sorry. We had to throw a little repo.
How long have you worked at that?
I'd worked all my sophomore and junior year.
Okay,
And I had done. I was the morning guy. I did the morning show 5 days a week.
Same here, man.
And so,
See, you had a different structure than my college radio station.
In what way?
Mine was much more informal. You know, well, I think I had a Friday show. I had one.
Well, most people did, but no one wanted to do a 7 o'clock shift. And I said, if you let me do it, I'll do it every day 7 to 10.
WVU station, college station of the year, by the way, last year. Welcome.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's.
Well, this is obviously a fuck up.
I think it may be like maybe a 10th or 11th time it's been voted that annually, right? Because it's really a radio station for the town.
Okay.
It's a radio station.
See, we were Carrier Current. We were on the campus of American University. Yeah. Now, the FM station, WAMU, which is
a big deal.
Big station.
Big ratings.
Big deal.
That was NPR. Diane Rehm and National Public Radio and Ed Walker and all that. They were upstairs. We were in a closet.
Yeah.
WAMU 61, which was heard like in the dorm.
So U92, the moose.
Hey, man.
Is the biggest station in the town. Bottom line, right? So when you broadcast, you had a shift. Everyone had like a regular radio station.
But you see, we were in Richmond, so there were real radio stations. We were another closet operation. Yeah. When we started, we were in an old row house on Millheiser's. It was bigger than we were.
So could you hear the state?
We were piped into the dining hall.
That's like WAMU.
A really, really weak transmitter that was off and on in the dorms. But while we were there, they put us on the background of a cable channel on Richmond Cable. So anyone who had
future.
TV, you could listen to it. So
but
that was
never
cool.
A real like radio station.
No, and I don't think they are to this day. I think they
and
still
you were
might
Monday have, through Friday.
Yeah, 7 to 10. And it was during my summer between my junior and senior year when I drove down to do a shift because I just wanted to. It was fun. And I found the applications for young disc jockeys.
Right.
And I read them on the air and made fun of them. Going in and out of records.
So wait, you actually were going to work during the summer?
No, I went down just to do a shift in the summertime.
So they kept the station open.
Yeah, they had a CD that would loop, and when for overnights, and then if someone would do time in the summer, we had a lot of students
so you could
that
go
were
down and kind of practice.
Yeah,
and
you could do what you wanted. Well, right. The general manager was a tremendous fuck. And we get back to this. We butted heads since we were freshmen.
Yeah.
Because he loved radio like I love radio. And I will say this right now. His name is Robert Fleskus. He's the only person that I've ever had a graphic murder dream about. I mean,
I remember the dream where I could
feel his neck giving way under my thumbs.
Well, because you're a little vindictive. I know you've followed him. What does he do now?
He is not in radio. He's an events coordinator.
Oh, okay. See, I knew you'd know. I knew you'd know what he did.
And he has less hair than I do.
Jesus Christ, what's that? Is his head cut off?
But
where does he do this event coordinator?
You know what? I don't know where he's located right now. I could Google and find him.
You got to bone up.
But the thing is that he loved radio like I did, but he hated the fact that I was better at it than him and that I didn't take it as seriously as him.
This is the inner workings of Rob's.
And that I could go in. No.
He hated that.
Do you think this guy thinks about Rob? Probably not.
I think he might. I bet he was
jealous of
you? He was jealous. And so, you know what he was? He was a perfect management type. He was all about
all responsibility.
Was the jealousy exclusively... Remember this question. Was the jealousy exclusively because of your talent or your good looks?
I'd say it's equal parts.
Okay. All right.
I will say this. He worked against me as we progressed. He hated the fact...
By the way, bulletin. Jurors are deadlocked after 30 hours of deliberation.
What? For Cosby?
Breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news.
Maybe
he
slipped them some pills.
Deadlocked after 30. We're taping the show on 30.
Deadlocked or dead?
They're getting sleepy.
It's kind of weird.
I'm tired. The more coffee I drink, the more tired.
Who called it? He gets off, by the way. I called
that he's guilty. So we're tied right now.
So the radio station does what? Why do you hate this man so much?
Because he found out that I was doing a bit, you know, actually doing something creative, having some fun, and he went to the station's administrators and had me fired and banned from the radio station because I read applications on the air. And he made up some sort of trumped up charge. You're releasing information about people without their consent. You can't do that.
It's true. Though.
No, it's not.
You're not supposed to do that.
There's something
against
the rules. They knocked off an application.
Somebody puts personal information in on that. They don't want that to be.
It wasn't personal information. It was like, I want to be on the radio because.
Are you an idiot? That's an application. An application is not meant to be read on air for broadcast.
Well, then so slap me on the wrist. Don't ban me from the station.
What's wrong with you?
How many did you read?
No more than 7. And I may have tried to call them for an on-air interview. It was fun, you know, just having fun. And
just
I
being
was,
really nakedly cruel.
Well, no, just having fun. And I was inspired by other radio shows that probably would have done the exact same thing.
Would
don't
that
you
be
think?
The Don and Mike
don't
show
you think? Yeah, because this was during my internship.
Yeah, we were all about naked cruelty. You wanted to be cruel like
I wanted to be like you guys. And I thought it was a funny bit. I never
noble,
taped it.
Noble pursuit.
And so, yes. And so I get banned from the radio station. Since then, I have made up with the station advisor, and I'm actually good friends with her on Facebook. Mm-hmm. But
still?
Yeah, she's awesome. God, she's great.
Damn.
Wow. But I was following the WVCW Facebook page.
I mean, I know you're not supposed to live in the past, but for God's sakes, don't build a condo back then.
Hey, Mike, back then, I still had a future.
All right, what are we getting to here?
So WVCW is doing a pledge drive.
Yes.
And I want to play you a little bit of their current general manager. He's a hack named...
Now, do you know this guy?
No, I don't know this guy.
Why are you attacking the current general manager?
Don't say his name.
He still
just
hates...
because the old GM was mean. Aww. You think all GMs are nasty because the one guy was mean to you?
How many GMs have I ever met that have really been great to me? I'm gonna play the odds. And I will rescind. I don't want you
to
know.
You're not attacking the kid.
No.
You're attacking the notion of the pledge drive.
Exactly. So here is this is on the WVCW Facebook page.
Hi, my name is and I'm the general manager of WVCW Radio. Now I know that the big news in music this week has been that Taylor Swift is finally on Spotify. And I'll admit, I may have listened to one or two, maybe a half dozen.
You don't have to play anymore.
See what I'm saying? That so that's and that's the take they used. Right. So he goes and he gives us a tour of the radio station.
Hi.
Talking
I'm
about
the guy that makes all the rules.
Yeah. You know what he is? He's Robert Fleska's 2.0. He's
really
going to excel
okay,
in college
okay.
radio.
Right. Listen, so, I offer him plenty of equal time, but
call in anytime. He gives a tour of the studio and complains about how old the equipment is and that the equipment is now 25 years old. And I'm Mike. I'm looking at the equipment I used when I was at WVCW. They've upgraded the microphone, but other than that, it's all the same. So they get to the pledge drive part, and this is the part that I find most fascinating.
But wait, there's more.
Hi.
For another $20 or for a total of $75, you'll reach our platinum donation tier, where not only will you get everything from the gold tier, but you also get an hour of airtime on WVCW radio, something I've known freshmen to fight over.
So here's my thing,
Rob.
I've known freshmen to fight over.
Rob has a master plan because he has an axe to grind.
$75, and I'm going to put some corpses to bed.
All right, so you're going to go down there and do it?
I think so.
Wait.
I think I'm going to go
date
down
for
there.
For hearing that tape, that'll be a whole show. We'll do a whole show with you burning your bridges with you. What do you call it?
It's your axe to grind. It's putting
settling scores.
Settling scores. It's a new podcast. Spiewak.
Rob is the Count of Monte Cristo.
Is there? All right, listen, Loner Rob. Is there anybody during your hour that you buy of airtime down there that you will say nice things about?
Actually, I might invite my last radio partner to come with me. Because I would love to have him grind the axe as well, because he was pissed as much as I was.
What's his name?
Bill Hirschman. He's living in Wisconsin, but he said that he would make the trip. Yeah.
Well, Rob, I would love to join you, unfortunately. And what's Bill doing now? Retail?
Banking, Mike.
Banking.
Okay. No, not really. He's an EMT, fire rescue guy.
Oh, okay. All right. So
actually, you know what? He is a mutual friend with Carl Fippinger. He worked with Carl for a while. Okay.
Now I've lost everybody.
Just so you know.
Who and why?
Carl Fippinger was Danger Boy on the show.
I got it.
But anyway, I'm thinking that $75. I'm thinking $75 would really, really erase a lot of demons for me.
I think you need to do this. I think you have to get down there.
And I love the fact that they said everyone who buys an hour of airtime will have a current WVCW employee with them to help them run the board. And I'm going to say, get the fuck out. I built this board.
Wow. Yeah, you're okay. So I have a suggestion if you're going to do this.
Yes.
It can be before, it can be afterward, but get some counseling. Really, Rob. Jesus Christ, man. Sleeping dogs ain't lying.
Oh my
they
God.
Are barking.
He's a
sleeping dog.
It's like that scene in Billy Madison where the guy's putting lipstick on.
Yeah,
is it Buscemi? Yeah, Steve Buscemi putting lipstick on, and then he's like crossing out names that he's not going to go after.
Yeah.
Wow. It's alive. Hey, thanks for joining us for the Michael Mary Show bonus hour. A little extra room near the bunghole, everybody. Remember
yeah, I don't
that?
Want Thank my you. Keys to fall yeah. out.
Lyndon Baines Johnson, thanks for joining us. You're the people who keep the show going. We appreciate it. Spread the word about the Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour. Subscribe to our bonus content and tell your friends. Gift it. Renew it. Just get it. And Lev, I'll work on getting you unblocked and back in the fold. Thank you for sending Rob the letters. I appreciate that. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Fuck you, Robert Fleskus.
Ciao.
Hey, I just wanted to take this time out to say thank you to all the people who purchase our bonus content. The Mike O'Mara Show bonus hours are a little extra something we do for you each and every week. And those that support us by purchasing our bonus show content really make the show fly. Thanks once again for supporting the Mike O'Mara Show bonus hour.
Well, this is obviously a fuck up.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.